and look at Luke chapter 1. And so we did that. And we're still in Luke chapter 1. And we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth last week and tried to learn some things that God was spelling out in the scriptures for us. And one thing that we learned was that when we pray and God answers, that answer does not have everything to do with what we want, but that God is fulfilling what he wants. Amen. And he's after his purpose. And that he puts us and allows us to come into situations where when we give ourselves the prayer, that he's not only advancing what we desire, but he's advancing his agenda in our lives. And not only in our lives, but many times in the lives of others, that we see people's lives affected. God is so astounding. He's so far beyond us. When he moves, he accomplishes an infinite amount of things in one move than we could in a million lifetimes. I mean, it's just, that's God. He's beyond perfect, because we don't know what perfect is. See? And so I want to come back to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and I want to this time look at Mary as we look at the greatest miracle, of course, aside from the death, burial, and resurrection, because that was his purpose in coming, of course, but the birth of Christ. So part two here, we're going to look at the rest of this scripture. So let's pray and we'll dig into this. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to come together and to gather around the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are active, moving, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives and throughout indeed the whole world, bringing to pass your purpose and your desire for the good, Lord, for the good of your good pleasure. And so as we come to your word, help us today to receive instruction. Help us to see what you're saying to the church. And Lord, we'll walk in it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read, I'm not going to continue with Zechariah and Elizabeth, but I do want to read where we left off up until where we're going to pick up, just so that we can gather the context, if you will, of where we were last week. And so you will remember that we talked about how Zacharias, after he had seen this vision given to him by God of an angel coming into the right side of the altar of incense while he was burning incense, giving him this astounding message, telling him that his prayer has been heard. I can't imagine if an angel showed up to me and said, "Patrick, what you've been praying for, God has heard you." I would probably jump through my skin with joy. Amen. I don't know about you, but Zechariah turned around and said, "Can I have a sign, please?" And Gabriel said, "Yeah, I got one coming. I got one just for you." and so he said, "Here it is. You're going to be mute and not able to speak. Here's the sign. You're going to be mute. You want to prove that I'm talking to you? Here it is. You won't be able to talk until this thing comes to pass." Okay. And so we'll pick up in verse 21. And it says, "And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple." I guess Zechariah was in there trying to get himself together. Go on there. You have to imagine, he in there can't talk, and trying to get himself together and figure out what he's not going to say when he leaves here. and so people outside going, "Man, Zechariah sure is taking a long time to burn that incense. What's going on with brother up in there?" And it says, "But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So here's Zechariah come out the temple. Can't imagine. He's coming out of the temple beckoning with his hands, probably asking for help. Somebody give me something to write on. I can't, you know, he can't talk. And you would want to come out and say, I mean, can you imagine? You come out and tell the people, I saw a vision. I had a vision of an angel. But you can't say that because the people say, well, wow, what did he say? And then you try to tell them. And then they say, well, what happened to you? I didn't believe him. Who would want to come out and say that, you know? Well, I saw the vision of the angel, but I didn't believe what he had to tell me. People would be looking at you like, for real? For real? Why not? Okay, so, verse 23. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, this is the reason why she did it, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Because it was a reproach to be barren in Israel. Indeed, it was thought to be a curse to be barren in Israel, because those who were blessed of the Lord had the fruit of their womb blessed of the Lord. Amen. Okay, now, so we come down to our text in our verse 26. Now, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And so we're here when it says now in the sixth month. That sixth month is talking about Elizabeth's sixth month of pregnancy. Remember it says she hid herself 5 months. And then it says now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent this angel to Mary. Okay? What I want us to see here, what I want us to notice in this passage of scripture, and it's so wonderful to me when you look at God and look at who he is and what he does. When God got ready to bring his son, when God got ready to bring his son into the earth, all the activity was God's. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, get that. When God went to bring his son to mankind, when he went to bring his son to the earth, man was not active. Matter of fact, man didn't even know what was going on. He saw Zechariah. He's startled by this angel. And he doesn't even know what's going on. Mary doesn't know what's going on. But we see heavy activity in what God is doing. Let me say this. When God went to bring his son to this earth, when God went to bring his son to that earth, that earth, that earth, you know that all the activity was God's. Because not a one of us will tell me right now, I knew God was drawing me. Oh, I knew it. Oh, yeah. And I just accepted it. I went with it. No, you didn't look back on your conversion. You had no clue what was going on. Had no idea until the day you either prayed or how, I don't know what the circumstance was with you, God opened up your eyes and you saw. And so look at the activity here. Like we said last week, look at what's missing. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Who does the sending? God does the sending. To a city, he sent this angel to a city and to a person. Do you know that God still sends angels to cities and he sends angels to people? I will show you in a second, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Your conversion, my conversion, was accompanied by angelic activity. Because God uses angels in the process of getting people saved. So let me read through it. Betrothed to this woman, betrothed to this man, we see the normal activity of life going on in Israel. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What has any human done thus far? Nothing. So when God wanted to bring his son, when he was ready to bring Christ into the earth, it was not based upon anything man could do or ever would do. It was all based upon what heaven released, what heaven brought to bear upon humankind. So when God was ready to bring forth his son, all the activity was on God's part. Was on God's part. Now let me tell you, God is bringing people unto himself right now. He's doing it today. He did it yesterday. He'll be doing it tomorrow. Come on. And that's why the Bible says there's a joy in heaven among the angels when one sinner repents. Because God is bringing people unto himself. And he deserves all the glory, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be saved. Is that right? And so this story is a picture, if you will. It's historical. But it's also an allegory, it's also a picture, if you will, of what goes on in the spirit when God brings a person to himself. Or when God, actually, let me say it this way, when God seeks to bring forth Christ in someone, because that's what he's doing in Mary. Okay? Now, we note here, as in the last account with Zechariah and Elizabeth, that God intervenes in the affairs of human lives to bring his will and his purpose to pass. Okay? We also note that man has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Man has nothing to do with the birth of Christ except to respond to it. Because when we get down to this, we'll see. Mary did have a response. Come on. Zechariah had a response to the angel, and he learned how not to respond to the angel. Mary had a response, and that's the only thing you will see in this passage of Scripture as we go through it. And so, let me say again, when God was ready to have his son born, he sent his angel to a certain place and to a certain person. We see that in Acts 10:3. Now, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly, Cornelius of the Italian regiment, okay? He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius, what did the angel say? You're to send to Joppa and ask for one Simon. He's staying in a house, and you're to send men to him and go ask for Peter, Simon Peter." So what do we see here? We see the angel being used by God to awaken, to stir this man. He was a devout man, but he was still a sinner. And he calls Peter. Peter comes, preaches the gospel. Him and his whole house get saved. And so God uses angels as he did before and as he does the same thing today. Angels were active at the birth of Christ, and they remain active in the birth of Christ today in people's hearts. And so he sends Gabriel, this angel, to a virgin, a person that has no way of bringing forth Christ on her own. And so we look at, we see, they say that Mary would have been approximately 13 to 15 years old when the angel Gabriel, because that was the betrothal age of when they would have been married, or the time when they would have been what we call engaged, the prelude to marriage. So we see, and we could say, sure, Mary would have been able to give birth to someone else without God's intervention, but she wouldn't been able to give birth to Christ without God's working. Okay? So there's some things she could have done on her own, but she would have never been able to bring the Christ into the world without God's intervention. Amen. John 1:1 says this about you and I. But as many as received him, the scripture before that says that he came unto his own, received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power or the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born. This is what I was talking about earlier. You and I, when we were born again, we were not born of blood. We were not born because we thought it was a good idea to get saved now. Come on. That's not why we were born again. We weren't born because your mother, your brother, sister, father got hold of you and threw you down at the cross and said, get saved. No, no, not the will of man. The reason why we were born again is because God willed it. Hey, God willed it. God looked down on us sinners, sent his son to die on the cross, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, drew us to himself so that we might be born again. Okay? And so, every Christian is born by the will of God. Is born by the will of God. Now, I want to look a little closely at verse 28. The angel, having come in, said to her, rejoice, or hail, or greetings, is what it was. Highly favored one. How many of you ever walked in and heard people say that? You say, how you doing? They say, blessed and highly favored. I hear people say that. It would crack me up when they would say it. I said, blessed and highly favored. I would say, but when I looked into it, I found out something. Now, I don't know if they know it. Probably they don't. But I'll show you here in a second. But now, here again, let me stress this. The angel comes in. Mary has done nothing. Okay? The angel comes in. Did she deserve the angel coming to her? Did she deserve the message that? But he says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Can you do anything to merit the favor of God? Okay, everybody knows that real good, right? You can do nothing to merit the favor of God. But the angel comes in and says, rejoice, highly favored one. In other words, Mary, you're to rejoice. This is what you're to do based upon what God has designated to you. What has he designated in her? I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored. What does that mean? When I look at it at Thayer's Greek lexicon, it says this. To make graceful, charming, lovely, agreeable. Listen, we're talking about Mary. Okay? She may as well have been talking about you and me. Okay? And the scripture says that you have found grace, or highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Highly favored means to pursue with grace, compass with favor, to honor with blessings. The angel is saying to Mary, Mary, God has chased you down with favor. God has overwhelmed you with blessing and honor. What do you say when an angel appears in your room and starts telling you, you are blessed with grace from God on high? I would imagine Mary's like, oh my goodness. What do you do with that? But this is what the angel says to her. This is what Mary has been made before God. Mary was chosen by God just as we were chosen by God. Just as Mary was, so were we. Mary did nothing to deserve the status of being highly favored. We did nothing to deserve the salvation Christ died to give us. Now, this Greek word is kareto. Kareto. It only appears two times in the New Testament. Highly favored. The first time is in Luke 1:28. The second time is in Ephesians 1:6, where it talks about God to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. Highly favored. Highly favored. Listen, God has made me, he's made you charming to himself. Lovable to himself, agreeable to himself. Come on. When at one time there was nothing in us that agreed with God, nothing in us that was that wanted him. We were running like Adam and Eve in the opposite direction as fast as we could. But God's grace, God's mercy has made you and I to be pursued by the grace of God. You remember the story I would share with you how the sinner was running away from God, and God chased him down, tripped him up with his grace, and threw his grace on the person. That's the picture of you and I running from God as fast as we can to get away. And God launches out, trips us up. We fall. We fall into his grace. Come on. God's wanting to be good to us, and we're running away as fast as we can. And so it says, the one who highly favored Mary is the one who calls you and I to be accepted in the beloved. All right. Now, doesn't stop there. I mean, Mary got a load from this angel. Not only was she highly favored, but the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. When you break these down and you look at them one by one, can I ask you something? What do I have to do to get the Lord to be with me? Let me ask you another way. What can I do to get God to be with me? You got that right. Nothing. Well, let me ask you this. So then how did Mary get God to be with you? Said, the Lord is with you. The angel said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. How did the Lord come to be with Mary? He chose to. He chose to. Mary, highly favored one, God has chosen to be with you. My God, that's enough to make you sit and cry. Me? Look at Genesis 21:22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now, you see that truth right there? Please tell me what Abraham did to incur God being with him. What does it say Abraham did? Nothing. No. You know in Genesis chapter 13 when God came to Abraham, when God revealed himself to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I've chosen you. He said, in blessing you, I'm going to bless you. He says, I'm going to cause the fruit of your womb to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Anybody curse you, I'm going to curse them. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to be with you. And here Abraham just standing there. What did Abraham do to deserve that? Nothing. What do you and I do to deserve the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives right now? Nothing. The story of God coming to Mary to bring forth Christ in her is the story of God coming to you and I to bring forth Christ in us. And we deserve nothing. But we get to, by the grace of God, have his son in us. I remind you, Adam and Eve did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And some people say, I want to be like Adam and Eve. You go ahead. I'll take a pass. God came down in the cool of the day. Now, church, he never leaves. He never leaves. He came down on the day of Pentecost, and he has never left. You hear me? All right. So Abraham didn't do anything. Isaac didn't do anything. Genesis 26, 24, and the Lord appeared to him as Isaac and said the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants. For my servant Abraham said, what did Isaac do? He didn't do anything. Yet God said, I am with you. You know, in thinking about this, God help us that we never, never take the presence of God for granted. My God. And as I say that, I know in my own life, I have in the past. You know, Samson one time took the presence of God for granted, and he lost his spiritual vision. God help us. Mary, the Lord is with you. Let's look at Jacob, Genesis 28, 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. What did Jacob do to deserve God's being with him? Nothing, because you cannot merit the presence of God. And finally, Joseph in Genesis 39, 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. This is when he was sold into Egypt. We cannot do anything to merit the presence of God. Likewise, Mary, who was highly favored, and the Lord was with her, did not merit anything before God. And then finally it says she was blessed. Blessed are you among women. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, the last thing he did was he blessed them. When he made Adam and Eve, he blessed them. What did they do to deserve nothing? It's just that God is that type of God. I know earlier we were on the worship team, earlier before church, we were talking about some matters, and a friend of someone that said, I think, you know, God, I don't know why God put this sickness on me. And we were commenting how, you know, God doesn't put sickness. He doesn't put sickness on you. And how maybe that person doesn't know God based upon what they said. Because God came to take sickness from you. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Mary was blessed of all women, most blessed. The point here is that Mary did nothing to procure or deserve the blessing of God, just like you and I. Ephesians 1 and 3. You probably have that memorized. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What did you and I do to deserve to be blessed with every spiritual blessing? Nothing. But we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Open up our eyes to the truth concerning what you've done for us so that we don't lose sight of it in the midst of this world that is passing away. All right. Verses 29 through 33. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but to read through it pretty much. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Some commentaries say because angels didn't greet women. I thought, angels don't greet women. Angels pretty much don't show up to men all that often. I mean, hello. So the angel shows up, and she's a bit troubled. You know, it's not every day that an angel shows up to you. And so if an angel showed up to you and greeted you that way, it would trouble me a bit too. And so then the angel said to her, he repeats it, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus," which means Savior. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Currently, I'm reading, just got done reading through the book of 2 Samuel into the book of 1 Kings. And you will remember that David had a son named Solomon. God established his kingdom, gave him rest all around for 40 years so that Solomon could build the temple that David wanted to build. And as King Solomon was on the scaffold praying, the Lord reminded him, saying, "If your sons obey me, then I'll establish their kingdom." The sad thing about every king of Israel, even the good ones, that they worship false idols at times, you see. And so Solomon stepped away from the Lord, and they never realized the full potential of the kingdom. Why that is because David would have another son who would come and build the true temple of the Lord. And that was his son, Jesus, son of David, right? And so that's what the angel is referring to. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's Isaiah 9:6 right there. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay? Now, so Mary goes on, and she says, somewhat equivalent to what Zachariah said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And what Mary is saying, obviously, Mary takes what the angel is saying to her, that she's going to have a child, this child, before she comes into sexual union with Joseph, her betrothed husband. Because she said, how can this be? It would be one thing if she thought, this is going to be the son of Joseph. She knew this wasn't going to be the son of Joseph, or she wouldn't have answered the way she did. Okay? "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Mary's response was not one of unbelief, since the angel didn't rebuke her. It was one of means, for what was stated was impossible. She's like, how is this going to happen? And so the angel proceeds to tell her. But when I like it when she said, "I do not know a man. I do not know a man." When God wanted to bring his son into the world, he bypassed man. Why? Because man had nothing to contribute. Man couldn't give anything in this. No man will be involved with this, nor can he be, for this will be no ordinary birth. Mary, no man can produce what I'm about to produce in you. That's what God's saying. When she said, how is this going to happen, seeing I know not a man? Mary, what I'm about to do in you, no man could ever produce. Matter of fact, Mary, what I'm about to do in you, every man needs. Man can't help in this situation. Man needs what I'm about to do in you. And that's why I've chosen you, because you don't know a man. This will be the greatest birth in the history of the cosmos, in the history of the universe. And of Jesus, I remember them saying in John 7:46, no man ever spoke like this. They said, no man has ever spoken like this man. That's why was that? Because this was no ordinary man. This man was the God man. He was the God man, the Jesus that we serve. And so the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. How was the Son of God born in Mary? What happened? Did Mary do anything? Can't find anything. How's this going to happen, angel? God said, don't you worry about it. I'm going to do it. And God, the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Come on. The Holy Spirit knows how to plant. The Holy Spirit came and implanted the egg, or it fertilized the egg in Mary's womb by the Spirit, caused it to be fertilized. The Holy Spirit brought life to that which was planted in her. Wow. Let me see where I am in here. So we see the Godhead involved in the birth of Christ. So it is with the new birth today. It's the same way. God ordained salvation. The seed of the word of God is sown in the hearts of men, and the Holy Spirit causes the seed to grow in our hearts. You know the scripture. The Godhead was active in the birth of Christ and is active in every birth into the kingdom of God. John 3, 5 through 8 says this. Most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so what we see is this. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, overshadowed her. We see the progression, because there's a progression going on in this scripture. In the first, the angel said to her, the Lord is with you. Then he moved and said this. Now, she said, how is this going to happen? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit, God isn't only with you. He's going to come upon you. He's going to overshadow you. And if you watch the progression, it ends with this. That which is in you is going to be God. How does God bring a person to himself? God comes to that person and overshadows them by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit was drawing us to Jesus long before we even got saved. He was drawing us. He was overshadowing us. Genesis 1, 2 says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without void. And darkness was upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God hovered or brooded over the waters. The same Spirit that brooded over the waters is the same Spirit that brooded over Mary and caused life to come forth into her. And so the same Spirit that brooded over Mary, when you and I, the gospel was preached to us, the word of God came to us, and the Holy Spirit breathed. The Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit blew and caused life to come into us. That's how the Son of God gets in. That's how the Son of God was impregnated into Mary. That's how the Son of God is born in our hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You mean, brother, it's not this great witnessing tool that I learned? It's not those five steps that if you do this, everybody's going to come to Jesus. No, it's not that. I'm sorry to tell you right now. If the Holy Spirit does not come upon, overshadow, then Christ will never be formed in a person. It is all by the power of the Spirit of God. That's why the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and overshadow you. So we see here that we were born of the flesh and since have been born of the Spirit. But Jesus, it happened the opposite way. Jesus was born of the Spirit. Jesus said here, what is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. That's why I said you must be born again. Why do we have to be born again? Because Jesus the Son was born, and we weren't born in his likeness. That's why you have to be born again. Christ has to be birthed in you. But Christ was not born of the flesh first. He was born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit and of the flesh, but not of the sinful flesh that we have. Without the Holy Spirit's work, there would be no virgin birth. Amen. We were all virgins when it came to knowing God. We were all virgins. Amen. He hadn't entered us. We had nothing to do with him. We were virgins, just like Mary was a virgin. Not only physically, but she was a virgin spiritually. Okay? Now, let me share this scripture. Colossians 1:27. And I would like to read, because this is, and remember, I'm calling this the greatest miracle, because I don't know if we'll ever fully understand what it meant for God to come in human flesh. The miracle of the incarnation. Not just the virgin birth, but the incarnation. Okay? Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, and I want to read, start in verse 24 before I get to verse 27. It reads this way. And now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And this is what he's talking about fulfilling. This is his stewardship. That the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations. See, because Isaiah and Jeremiah and all, they didn't know this. Jacob and Abraham, they didn't understand this. The mystery that was hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, you want to hear the riches? You want to hear what the riches of God are, the riches of the glory of God? It is this, it is Christ in you. That's it. Christ in you is the hope of us attaining glory. It is Christ in us. Christ in us. And everything in this world that we live in is wanting us not to focus on the Christ in us, but focus on the worldly things outside of us. The angel told Mary, that Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. And so that which is born in us by the power of the Holy Spirit is Christ. That's why we say we have Christ in our heart. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What does that mean? It means to have Christ living inside of you. Amen? All right. So then it goes on, verse 36 and 37. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, here is Mary's sign. Remember the angel gave Zechariah a sign? Well, he gave Mary a sign too. Okay? And he said this. Now indeed, and why would he give Mary a sign? Now remember, this girl's 13 to 15 years old. And she is being told by this angel, God's chosen you to bring forth his son. But you know, God is so good. God knows who you need to walk with you to do the will of God for your life. He doesn't leave you all by yourself. There's no one out there walking in the will of God all by themselves, and they're the Lone Ranger. When they get done, they're going to say, I did it all. I don't think so. No, you didn't. The reason why you did it all because you got 100 people pushing you up in the will of God, keeping you straight. No. No, it's not all by yourself. God knew Mary needed a sign, that she needed something and someone. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Can you imagine? This young girl is told, you're going to bear a son. And, I mean, come on now. In your mind, you can think, okay, I'm not married yet. If I get pregnant, that's adultery. And in Israel, adultery is judged by stoning, by death. So, I mean, okay, I see what the will of God is, but I'm a little bit challenged by this. Well, God knows where Mary is. And look at what God does for her. And this is now the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Can you see Mary running to see Elizabeth? Because the Bible says she packed her bags and she went and stayed with Elizabeth for, I believe, 3 to 6 months. I think it's 6 months. She stayed with her a long time. I can hear it now, these two women. I can hear this little girl, you know, this young girl, oh, what is it? And Elizabeth said, oh, girl, look, you know I was barren. Look how good God has been to me. Now, Elizabeth, 5 months now, 6 months, she's showing in all of this. And you could see Mary coming under her wing and just being soothed by, and not to forget now, Elizabeth was barren, which means she bore some reproach. Okay? And she could tell Mary, when you get rejected, don't be discouraged. They rejected me. They reproached me because I couldn't have children. Yeah, and I felt this way and I felt that, but look how good the Lord has been to me. Believe God and see the end of the Lord, because the end of the Lord is good. Come on, James 5 tells us that we know the patience of Job, and we know those who have seen the end of the Lord. It says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and see what he does. And so God gave Mary somebody to run with. Come on, how many of you know we all need somebody to run with in the will of God? We all need somebody to run with in the will of God. And so God gave Mary a cousin who had a miracle similar to hers. In Elizabeth, Mary could find strength to go through with the pregnancy and rejection from those around her. Who better to shelter her than one who would have endured rejection over the years because of her barrenness? And so what we see here is that God gave Mary all she needed to accept the will of God for her life. God gave Mary all that she needed to accept the will of God for her life. You know what that means? That God will give you and God will give me all we need to accept the will of God for our life. Do you know what that means? There is no excuse. If Mary could do it, I can fulfill the will of God for my life. You can fulfill the will of God for your life. You know what that does? It takes away every excuse. And so I said to myself, there is no reason for me not living in the will of God. There is no reason for me not fulfilling the will of God for my life. Because even though it was challenging, even though it was hard, God gave Mary what she needed. Okay? Last scripture. Then we see man's part in this whole thing. Here we come to man. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving us out of it. Because if he knew he couldn't include us. Then Mary said, behold. Well, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that. No, that's not what she said. No. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. How many of us know what the will of God is for us? Oh, don't be afraid to put your hand up. Now, I know you know what the will of God is. Open up. You want to know? We know the will of God for us, generally. Come on, in the scripture. Colossians 4:4. You know the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, da 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 da, goes on and on. So we know the will of God for our life. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. What are we saying? What are we saying to the will of God for our life? Let it be to me according to your word. Mary, even though the will of God for her was challenging, was not what she would have chosen. Does anyone have the will of God? It's not what you would have chosen, but here you are in the will of God. Even though it wasn't what she chose, Mary submitted herself to the will of God. What is God saying to you and I through this passage of scripture? He said, listen, even though it's not what you would have chosen, even though it's not what you would have wanted, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season, 1 Peter 5:5. Yeah. So, man is called upon to respond to the wonderful news that God has chosen him to bring forth Christ in him, as Mary responded to the Lord. It's interesting as we look through Scripture because we, you know, I thought about this and I thought, well, who would respond negatively to the will of God? Well, people, we do it all the time. I mean, people do it. Acts 13:46 says, when Barnabas and Saul went to Antioch of Pisidia, they preached the gospel there, and many people believed and heard. Next day, the whole city came out to hear the word of God, but when the Jews saw the Gentiles getting on the word of God, they began to blaspheme. You know, because the Jews didn't want the Gentiles, you know, in on this. This is our thing. They didn't want them. And so they began to blaspheme and wanted to drive the other people away. Listen to what Paul said. Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God, now 1 Peter tells us that you and I were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the incorruptible word of God, the incorruptible seed of the word of God, right? So when that word comes to us, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You and I heard the gospel, God stirred up by the Spirit of God, faith in us, and we believed and we were born again, okay? So here the word of God comes to them. That word of God is the will of God for them. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, Mary could have rejected what God said. But since you reject it and judge yourselves, listen, unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. I simply share this scripture to say that Mary could have said, I don't think it would have been good for her if she'd have said, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think it would have been good. It certainly wasn't good for Zechariah. But God chose someone with a willing heart. God chose someone who was willing to do his will. These people, these Jews, were not willing. But God help us that we, as Mary did, even if it's challenging, the will of God in our life, we would submit ourselves to his will. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Even though it was challenging, Mary submitted herself to the will of God for her life. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for understanding. Thank you, O God, that as you gave Mary everything she needed to do the will of God, Lord, you have given to us. Amen. For you are not partial. You are not a respecter of persons. You don't treat one this way and another in a different manner. Lord, you've given us everything we need that we might submit ourselves to the will and purpose of God for our life. And Father, I pray, Lord, that our one consuming passion would be to do the will of God, would be to understand and perceive the will of God, Father, and fulfill that which you have laid out for us, by the power of the Holy Spirit and all of it to the glory of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks for it. Now I ask your blessing upon this day, upon this week, Lord, to our families, our relationships, our homes, everything that we set our hands to, that Christ in all things might be glorified in our lives. And everybody said, amen. God bless you real good.